Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of a very stable podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Reed. You can give me a follow on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. You can follow the podcast at A Very Stable Podcast. You can take a look and listen and see what we've got over at Stampede Blue. We're a proud member of the Stampede Blue Podcast Network. You've got a lot of great hosts going on right now. So take a listen to all of those and remember to rate and review us 5 stars if you get an opportunity. So this episode might be more likely to be named A Very Unstable Podcast because I decided to go ahead and be a little bit, let's just say, I wanted to cause myself pain, and I went ahead and rewatched the Colts and Jaguars game, and I just, so many things just left me scratching my head. I'm going to be honest with you. And it starts right there at the coaching staff, starts with Frank Reich. So this is now, I don't think Frank Reich has ever won in Jacksonville as a head coach. And my biggest, let's hold on. Let's start this off with the good things that happened in Jacksonville. So just, I'm going to go over the good things really quick. All right, that was it. Those were the good things. That was short and sweet, and I think that you all got the point there. So my issue with Frank Reich is it's twofold. I'm not saying that he needs to be fired because in order to fire a coach, you've got to have somebody available to replace him. And quite honestly, I don't think that the Colts have anybody that's going to be able to come in week 3 of the season and make a big difference. Frank Reich has consistently started off slow to the season and then worked his team into playoff contention. But I think I speak for all fans when I say we are getting very, very frustrated because this team should be 2-0 and have a 2-game lead over Tennessee going into week 2 of the NFL season. And they don't. They've pooped their pants in 2 separate weeks. And it's just not good. I don't know what to say. But quite honestly, the biggest thing I think is it goes to Frank Reich. It goes to the top. It's pretty clear that these guys were uninspired and unprepared to play in Jacksonville, which is really frustrating because that is his only job, is to make sure your players are prepared, put them in the best position to win and make plays. And quite frankly, he didn't do that. He failed them. And what's wild to me is he failed them before this game even started. So I don't know how many people have talked about this on any other podcast where if you've seen it written anywhere, I haven't seen it. But one thing that really bothers me about this past week and leading into the Jacksonville week is, you know, it's an important game. It's a divisional game on the road in a place that you haven't won in 7 consecutive years. Playing in Jacksonville. You just had your worst loss of the season last year with a team that's largely the same as what they had last year at the end of the season in Jacksonville. And Frank Reich inexplicably decides to have 2 straight hard days of practice. 2 days, 3 days after coming back from a overtime game where you played the full 10-minute overtime. And you've got guys, it's opening week of the season. Some of these guys, it's some of their first action of the season. And you decide to go so hard in those first couple practices that your star wide receiver gets injured. And yeah, okay, you know, it's you never know when injuries are going to occur. It's a wild card situation there. But quite honestly, you cannot have 2 straight hard days of practice if you're trying to gain these players' trust, if you're trying to prepare your team to be ready for the next week. You just played a full overtime game against a divisional opponent on the road where your team had to come back from 17 points down in the fourth quarter, able to make it to overtime, put themselves in a position to win, only to have it ripped away by a missed 42-yard field goal, and to see the defense go ahead and play it out and finish the entire 10-minute overtime period without allowing a score, and you decide to have 2 straight days of hard practices. To me, that's inexplicable right there. And then when Michael Pittman gets injured, and he got injured in that first or second day of practice right there, because he went from limited participation to out. And then Frank Reich made it sound like it was no big deal. Oh, gosh, golly, guys, you know, it's he's going to be back. Don't worry. It's not going to be that big of a deal. I'm really optimistic that he's going to get to play. And then he's out. Which happened, I understand. But when a player like that is out, you have to have a game plan not built around that player, not built around the player that's not there. And he didn't. He didn't have that game plan available. He didn't alter his game plan at all. And it was clear as day that they didn't have a game plan available if they were going to have Michael Pittman out. You lost your number one and two wide receiver in Michael Pittman and Pierce. Like, you can't sit here and say that that didn't affect the team, but then the coaching staff needs to make it so it doesn't affect the team like that. Like, that was wild to me. And then you sit there and you have the usage of different players. So you had Nyheim Hines got 4 touches on the day. Like, that's wild to me. A guy that should be just blowing people away in the slot. He got 1 carry, 1 rushing attempt, and 4 receiving attempts. And that was it. Jonathan Taylor had 9 carries, 10 touches total, 9 carries for 54 yards, 1 catch for 9 yards, 63 yards on the day. And you expected to, like, be in the game? Like, you don't have your best receiver, and your play calling takes the ball away from your best offensive weapon? Like, this is wild to me. This just screams of the Baltimore game from last year where he just took the ball away from Jonathan Taylor there in the fourth quarter in overtime. He's your best player. He's the reigning NFL rushing leader, and you don't give him touches. That is just wild to me. And it's, again, inexplicable. And then you get to the play calling and usage. Like, you expect guys, like, this was a perfect opportunity for Paris Campbell to step up. I mean, he had every single opportunity, and he had 2 targets, no catches. I'm sorry, but Paris Campbell, in a game like this against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you needed to show up and you didn't. Like, I know that there are some people on Colts Twitter that were super high on Paris Campbell coming out, and I thought that he had an opportunity to become better, but he wasn't anywhere near my top wide receiver in that class. But I know some other people were really, really high on him, and I'm sorry, but they were wrong. Like, Paris Campbell has shown nothing. He's fully healthy, didn't play well at all. He didn't get open. He had every opportunity to. Now, you could sit here and blame it on the offensive line if you want. Pryor was terrible. Honestly, you need to give Bernard Raimann the snaps at left tackle at this point. Pryor was a liability against any speed rusher, really against any rusher, period. Matt Ryan did not feel comfortable. It was pretty clear at the end of the game when you started seeing Bernard Raimann get in there and get a little bit more snaps that Matt Ryan felt more comfortable there. He had time to throw. So I sit there and look at it like, this is a no-brainer decision for me. It just blows my mind how Frank Reich gets a pass on this. Year in and year out, he starts the year slow in terms of the team and their win-loss record and really play calling. And it just seems like the team is unprepared to start the season. And then they kind of gradually get into it and they go on a run in the middle of the season and put themselves in position. But you know what would be a lot easier? If you beat the Houston Texans and you beat the Jacksonville Jaguars to start the season, so you don't have to go into the final couple weeks of the season hoping that you get an opportunity to play and to win a game to make the playoffs. Because if you just win those 2 games, those 2 relatively easy games there to start the season, this start of the season was teed up for the Colts to start 2-0. And you had the Tennessee Titans, you know, which you kind of expected them to be 1-1 at this point, but they're now 0-2. Like, it's wild to me how the Colts haven't put this together. They needed to. Looking at some of the other things, the defense right now, it looks lost. I'm beyond shocked that Isaiah Rodgers has gotten zero defensive snaps in the past 2 weeks. That just blows my mind. He's one of their better cover corners. And he's kind of really good for this defensive scheme. So I'm just shocked that he's not getting more playtime, more run there. Kenny looks lost. Kenny Moore just you see it week in and week out. You see these other teams kind of picking on Kenny a lot. And so I'm hoping that he can turn it around against Patrick Mahomes. But I don't have a lot of high hopes for that, given the fact how he's played the past 2 weeks. He's given up big plays, taken really critical penalties. I hope the best for him, but quite honestly, at this point, I think that Kenny probably needs to be moved to another team that really utilizes that slot corner well. An ideal place, I said on Twitter, would be Chicago. Maybe you get a late day two pick in that round three, but you're probably looking to get like a day three pick, an early day three pick there, round four, round five, something like that. Because again, Kenny wants a new contract. He is under contract for 2 years, so that's not going to be like a big issue there, 1 to 2 years. So he's going to want a new contract, but quite honestly, at this point, it's pretty clear that he's not a fit for this defense. And so the longer he plays in this defense and the worse he plays, the less money he's going to get. So he's probably going to want to be traded to be totally honest with you, because it gives him an opportunity to make that money, to really show out in a defense that really accentuates his skill set. I will say a couple things that I thought were good about the game. Like I said, Bernard Raimann, I thought, played pretty well at left tackle. I think that he's the future at left tackle for this team. And I think that he gives this offensive line the best opportunity to win. I was disappointed with Ryan Kelly. Again, this is the second week in a row that it just feels like he seems lost. You're seeing a lot of stunts and twists that get by him that he just doesn't pick it up. And so I don't know what's going on there, but it's kind of frustrating. And then the other thing I wanted to point out, that the other good thing about the Colts game is that Tennessee also lost, which has nothing to do with the Colts game, I understand. But Tennessee now is 0-2. The Colts are half a game out of their division. And if you would have told me that the AFC South would have had two divisional games and there'd only be one win out of that, I would be shocked, because it should be Colts 2-0. But they're not. They're 0-1-1. So that's great. That's just great. So we're gonna go ahead and move on. One thing I want to bring up again, I mentioned this last week in the podcast, right about the same spot. I want to bring some awareness to abbyandlibby.org. It's a website that I think it's important, if you get an opportunity to go and visit it, I think it's really important to go see. It's regarding two young girls that were murdered in Delphi. They've got a tip line available for you if you want to go ahead and give that a call there. If you have any information related to that, there's also a over $300,000 reward for information that leads to catching of whoever did this to these two young girls. So again, that's abbyandlibby.org. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the Kansas City game. I'm a little worried, to be totally honest with you. I look at this, and the defense last week had a 10% pressure rate on Trevor Lawrence. That's not great. And if they end up getting a worse pressure rate on Patrick Mahomes, he might put up something along the lines of like Peyton Manning opening week of the season in Denver when he put up like 6 or 7 touchdown passes. That wouldn't be beyond it. The one good thing for the Colts in this situation is that they are a little bit Kansas City is a little bit undermanned after losing Tyreek Hill. He changes that entire offense. And so having him gone and not having that heir apparent readily available for Kansas City is going to change how this team plays. And so really, if you can shut down Travis Kelce, you've got an opportunity, and you can try to take care of those little short passes. You've got an opportunity in this game. So I think the Colts, they've got a puncher shot in this game. It's the first home game of the season. Kansas City is actually favored by 6.5 points, which is wild because they're the away team. So that means Vegas basically thinks that they're going to win by like 9.5, 10 points, right around there. And so I look at that and I'm a little bit scared as a Colts fan to go into that and see how they play. The offense, I'll tell you, should be better. I think that the offense should be better, not just because I don't think it could get any worse than what it was last week, because really it can't get any worse than what it was last week because it was so, so incredibly bad. Anyway, so the offense really does need Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce to get back because they need those wide receivers. It was so obvious that they missed those wide receivers, those playmakers there. And it was just really, really frustrating to see how the offense just kind of died and how the coaching staff let it die without getting the ball to your playmakers in Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor when you know Michael Pittman's out. That was just wild to me. The other thing that I think that the Colts need to get is it's mainly injury related to start the season. And again, it's really frustrating because you have them come out of the preseason and they're not really, you see these soft tissue injuries to a lot of guys. And so it's really frustrating to have this happen. I know Alec Pierce is a concussion, but a lot of times that goes with not pushing them hard enough in training camp. So yeah, I'm interested to see how they go with the injuries and how they come back. Darius Leonard or Shaquille Leonard coming back would be huge for this defense. It's pretty clear that, like I said earlier, they're a little bit lost right now. And so I would say they need to go ahead and take a look at that and see if maybe they can get it figured out. The defense plays so much better with Darius or with Shaquille Leonard in there. They're so much faster and they're just, he brings a level of confidence to this defense that I don't think it can be really gauged at all. He's just such a presence in there. He just brings a feeling and a demeanor to this defense that is different. One thing I will mention, I forgot to mention this in the positives for the Jaguars game, is Grover Stewart played awesome in there. He's worth every penny that he got paid, and he was arguably the best defensive tackle in the game last week. So I want to give props out to Grover Stewart. I think that he again will be able to show out and will cause some pressure for Patrick Mahomes. If they can keep their lanes and keep him in the pocket, I think Patrick Mahomes is beatable. And so I think that they're going to have an opportunity to do it. The one thing that the Colts really need to do though, in order to put themselves in a position to win this game, is they've got to be able to handle Chris Jones on the interior, and they've got to be able to handle Travis Kelce on the defensive side of the ball. So Chris Jones is effectively Kansas City's only viable pass rush guy. Like, they don't have anybody else on this team. It's pretty much Chris Jones and that's it. They've got a couple guys. I mean, George Karlaftis, he's the Purdue grad. You've got Carlos Dunlap. You've got a couple guys that are around, and they'll send some blitzes and things like that. But for the most part, it's Chris Jones and that's it. So if you can stonewall Chris Jones on the interior, and I think if they line him up against Quentin Nelson, I think that's a good spot for the Colts. I think the Colts are going to win that and have a good day there. If he lines him up over there on the other side against, you know, Danny Pinter, Ryan Kelly, even Braden Smith on the outside, because Braden hasn't been playing well this season so far either, I think that Chris Jones could have himself a day. And that, for me, is a little bit concerning. So the other thing that I want to bring up is with Travis Kelce. That's one of the big things with having Darius Leonard back, is the length that he provides in that zone defense. That allows your Kenny Moore, your Bobby Okereke, to be able to man up on Travis Kelce, and you feel a little bit more comfortable with that. So Travis Kelce, if you can contain him, you've got yourself a shot in this game. Like the Chargers this past week, they were pretty much They were pretty much in it to the very end. I think that they were actually leading the game for a little bit there, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs came roaring back. Yeah, the Chargers were up 17-7 in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs score 20 unanswered, and then the Chargers get that touchdown late, and then they try to go ahead and get a field goal. They tried an onside kick, but they couldn't recover. So I think that the Colts have a chance. And I know it's hard to say that after having such a demoralizing loss to a just I'm gonna be real frank here, and no pun intended, but Jacksonville's a junk team. That like they're not even close to the class of the Colts, and the Colts got absolutely embarrassed. So I come out on Twitter after the game, and I just say, "Look, I'm almost to the point where I'd be okay letting Frank Reich go because you can't continue to start these seasons out like this." My hope is that Pastor Frank decides that he wants to really motivate his team this week, and he doesn't go through these hard practices. You notice they didn't practice on Friday of last week because they had gone through two hard practices where you've had guys get a couple injuries. Like, it just seems unwise to me. But hopefully Frank can rally the troops here, and we'll go ahead and march around and go through Kansas City. My hope is that they go with what got them there. Like, Jonathan Taylor was their back last year that carried them to a playoff contention. Like, Jonathan Taylor was the guy. And then all of a sudden, they decided to go away from him this past week in Jacksonville in the rain. Like, that's the other thing that blows my mind. You have Jonathan Taylor there. And yeah, I understand Jacksonville is playing a lot of run splits. You had some questionable calls that were really frustrating. You've had Mo Alie-Cox in the back of the end zone where he should have drug his foot. You've got to know better than that as a tight end to be able to drag your feet there in the back of the end zone. You've got to have that inherently in your head that you've got to get that toe down. So there should have been a touchdown there. There's a tip ball pass. There was two or three interceptions that the defense should have had, that the Colts defense should have had. Stephon Gilmore had one. Julian Blackman had one. You had a bunch of guys that just didn't make plays. And it was really, really frustrating because if they do make those plays, then we're talking about a completely different game here. I was really frustrated with Frank Reich, fourth and 11 at the Jacksonville 11, or fourth and goal at the Jacksonville 11. Why not kick a field goal when you're down 24-0? Because you got to get three scores anyway after that. Doesn't matter. Even if you score a touchdown, you still need three scores unless you go for the 2-point conversion and get it every time. And that, quite honestly, that's pretty slim. So, yeah, I'm really frustrated with the coaching staff right now, as I think everybody is with them. But my hope is you get Michael Pittman back. That offense is completely changed because not only is Michael Pittman a good receiver, he's probably one of the best blocking wide receivers in the NFL in terms of talent and then blocking. So you've got guys that are like Stephon Diggs, that are Davante Adams, who are fantastic route runners, but they don't offer as much in the run game. Michael Pittman Jr. is probably one of the best, if not the best, all around wide receivers in the game. And so getting him back changes the dynamic of the entire offense. So that's going to be huge. Hopefully he gets better. Frank Reich was optimistic about him, said that he made good progress over the weekend. That said, Frank Reich also said that he was optimistic Michael Pittman would play versus Jacksonville, and he didn't, which basically changed their entire game plan. Like, why wouldn't you have? I'm going to go back and repeat myself, but I just get so frustrated how you don't have a backup game plan in that situation when the guy gets injured in the middle of the week. Oh, just in case he doesn't play, let's go ahead and maybe put the stuff out there. So then, just in case he doesn't play, not saying he won't play, not saying he will, but just in case he doesn't, then maybe we've got this available to us. It's just, again, one of those really frustrating things that I think the Colts need to, like, Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay, like, what I wouldn't give to be a fly in Jim Irsay's wall to listen to that conversation after that game, because you know Jim Irsay was beyond livid about how that turned out and how his team got embarrassed. Again, the only saving grace for him was that the Tennessee Titans just got absolutely smoked in Buffalo. And so the number of people talking about the Colts getting shut out in Jacksonville went down quite a bit because of the Tennessee Titans just no showing in Buffalo, which, I mean, it's not exactly fair to Tennessee because Buffalo is a really good team. But at the same time, you got to look at that and say, hey, look, oh, man, that really stinks. You guys were the number one seed in the AFC last year, and you are now 0-2 after losing two games, one to the Giants and now one to the Bills. So, yeah, I look at it, and, you know, the tough part is I am optimistic about this Kansas City game. I think they do have a chance. They've shown an ability to keep the ball away from top-tier quarterbacks when they need to. Question marks will be that offensive line. And I think if they decide to go with Bernhard Raimann, which personally I think is the better play at left tackle, and just give him the start, quite honestly. I know that Marcus Brady today had said that, or on Tuesday had said that they don't have any plans to change the offensive line or any offensive players at this point. I think they should. I think they should put Bernhard Raimann in there. I think he was clearly the better option than Matt Pryor. He's younger. He needs to get those snaps. Give him that opportunity to play and learn on the fly. The one positive part about Kansas City is they don't have that elite pass rusher that they've had in the past. So this would be a great opportunity for him to get in a big game and get some real life snaps against maybe a little bit lesser of a pass rush. And what's sad is that everything I told you all last week about Jacksonville and my worry about that defensive line and how fast they were versus Matt Pryor came to fruition. It's just, or for example, covering Christian Kirk, I mentioned that last week where Kenny had been playing poorly. So I was a little worried about that. And sure enough, it came true. My worries this week is that the defensive line is not going to be able to get the pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to have all day to throw. And you can't give a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes all day to throw. That's my big thing there on the defensive side. If Shaq Leonard comes back, that changes the whole scenario, because Shaq Leonard and his length, his quickness changes that entire, and just his demeanor and his presence changes what that defense can give. And I think for the offense, I think if Pittman comes back, you're going to see a very different offense. I think you're going to see an explosive offense that's going to put up some points. If Pittman doesn't come back, then you're going to see them try to get the ball. I think you're going to see Nyheim Hines get the ball a lot more. I think that even Frank Reich was surprised that he only got five touches and only, I think, 15 snaps out of something like 60 offensive snaps, 50 offensive snaps. He only got somewhere along the lines of five touches, which I think, again, surprised Frank Reich. I think you're going to see him get a lot more play this week. And I think it might be regardless of whether Michael Pittman is there or not. And you're going to see Jonathan Taylor get more than 9 carries, get more than 10 touches total. You cannot leave your MVP candidate on the side. So I think those are the things that I'd expect to see this next coming game. Is if I'm the Colts fans, I'm going to look for the Colts defense to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. If they can't get pressure like they didn't get pressure against Jacksonville, this is going to be a long game. And for the Colts offense, if Michael Pittman Jr. comes back, you're going to see the offensive game open up quite a bit, because Michael Pittman Jr. can get open on his own. If Alec Pierce comes back, you're going to see it open up a little bit more. Regardless, I think you're going to see more touches for Nyheim Hines and more touches for Jonathan Taylor. So that's going to be it for this week's episode. We're running right about half an hour, so it was nice talking with y'all. Again, this is a very stable podcast. My name is Stephen Reed. Give me a follow on Twitter at NiceReadSteve. Go ahead and check out all the work over at StampedeBlue.com. Give us a follow at StampedeBlue on Twitter. You know, check us out, all the other podcasts there on the network. Rate and review us 5 stars. And I hope that I get to see any of you guys at the ball game in Indianapolis this upcoming weekend. I'm hoping we're going to see a Colts win. Thanks. Have a great one.